Okay, and welcome back, and we're always honored to have Father Paul Kramer with us from the UK, actually in Ireland, and it's 4 a.m. there. So thank you again, Father Kramer. You're a hero, but people really appreciate understanding what you have to say. These are very difficult times, as you know. Pope Leo the 14th, what's his status right now? How is the scam unfolding? How are they doing with him? Are they on schedule? What do you think?
There was just a report that came out on a YouTube channel, which is quite a good channel, Return to Tradition, where they pointed out that Prevost, Leo the 14th, has a history of protecting the pedophiles in the diocese where he was bishop.
Now, who is this again, please? Protecting them?
Leo the 14th.
So this character now has a history of protecting pedophiles. Okay, I just want to get that real clear. Go ahead, please.
This came out during the time just before the conclave, when the name of Prevost was mentioned as a dark horse candidate to become pope. This information surfaced that he had a history of protecting these abusers
of little children. Okay, all right. I'm not terribly surprised to hear this. The amount of pedophilia that is being covered up, I think, would be a stunner to most people. But it's the truth. It is. I don't know how we're going to deal with this. How are Catholics supposed to deal with something as outrageous as exactly that? I don't know. Mystery to me.
That shows you how great is the corruption in the Vatican, in the hierarchy. These people have infiltrated the ranks of the clergy, not because they have any divine calling to the priesthood, but these are people who are predators who know that they can have access to children, they can have access to young people by becoming priests. So, there are people who have come in who have stolen the priesthood, who have no right to it, mm-hmm. because they weren't answering a divine calling to serve God and preach the gospel. No, they came in to serve their own selfish, perverted interests, and they can best accomplish that by becoming priests or becoming teachers, mm-hmm. Becoming police officers, because that gives them they have this authority, as it were. And they're seen as an authority figure, and people trust them. And from there, they abuse that position for their own gratification.
I think it's an old theme, Father Kramer. I think this goes back about as far as we can imagine. Power corrupts absolutely. Fair statement. Very fair.
And unfortunately, so many of the bishops are just bureaucrats. And they
can we not sort of knock on any door and find the same bureaucrat mentality, same bureaucracy, when there's power involved and corruption? It seems to attract these evil people, and they are evil people. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the ones in power, even some of them who are not guilty of doing that themselves, right. They're more interested in preserving the status quo. They're more interested in preserving the power structure.
Well,
so They want to make the problem go away. They want to sweep it under the rug.
Got it. Yeah. Well, it won't stay under the rug indefinitely. They can sweep all they want. Do you see any kind of a breakthrough or a breakout of real, honorable truth among the hierarchy of the church? Is that in the cards? Is it even possible? Can it happen? I am not in any way knowledgeable about this really, but to me it doesn't seem like it can happen.
I don't see it happening under the present circumstances. It will happen eventually, but not under the present circumstances.
Okay.
Catholicism is going to be so persecuted, and when Catholics are going to be driven underground and go into hiding, that's when that counterweight against all of this corruption is going to finally receive the divine favor, and by God's grace, it's going to prevail. The Davids are going to prevail over the Goliaths.
Is this going to happen? All right. Is this a correct statement? Nothing is going to change much at all. It just isn't, unless there's a divine intervention of some kind. I just don't see human beings, as flawed as they are, as willingly or willfully going in and changing the way that their game is played. I don't see it.
That's right. Because the church of in Rome, I won't call it the church, I won't dignify it with the name Church of Rome. The church that is in Rome right now is not the Catholic Church. It is the Synodal Church. They have already replaced the Catholic Church with the Synodal Church. And the Synodal Church does not have the Catholic papacy. What it has is a chairman of the board type of pope who is... Whose job description is to rubber stamp the decisions that are made by the national hierarchies.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many Catholics are saying, well, give the Pope time,
give him
the chance to restore things. He's had more than enough time. If he were a true Pope, he would have made massive changes.
He didn't hit the ground running. Nothing like that happened. Same old thing. Once again. Not going to change.
His assigned role is to sit back and let the revolutionaries make the revolution in the church, mm-hmm. and he is to rubber stamp it. And that's what he's been doing.
So nothing that is going to come from the church is going to cause Leo the 14th any real problems. He'll just continue, stamp, stamp, stamp. Okay. There won't be any big moral battle here. It's not going to happen. Isn't that right?
Not under the present circumstances. It is going to happen, but not under the present circumstances.
Understood. I know you've always been very clear about that, and I completely concur with what you say. This is really an incredible situation. There are so many incredible situations out there now. That it's almost impossible. Go ahead.
There's going to be a revival of faith under the force of oppression. And we can see the oppression is, they're tightening the screws. They haven't made them so tight that people are so oppressed like they were during the days of King Louis XIV, when people were so heavily taxed The taxation was so severe that people were starving. People were dropping dead in the public squares from starvation.
Wow, under Louis the 14th. I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Yeah, because he was financing all of his adventurous wars with taxation of the people.
Well, we're seeing it again. When you look at the American, forgive the expression, government from your position in Ireland, what do you see? What do you see beside corruption that is almost beyond measure? I would have to think you see that much. They can't hide it all.
What I see is there is already a revolution taking place, which is the worst kind of revolution imaginable. It is a form of communism. And most people don't understand what communism is.
No, they don't. No.
The leaders of communism were not in Moscow. But communists were shipped in from New York.
Communists from New York, i.e. Zionists from New York.
The Zionist bankers.
Yeah.
They were the ones who shipped in the communist revolutionaries. I remember the comment made by the anarchist Bakunin. He said that the Bolshevists have one foot in the revolution and the other foot in the bank.
Yeah. And so what we've seen... All right, go ahead. I have another question. Go ahead.
So I remember there was a man who from Ukraine when it was the Soviet. He was in the Soviet Union, in the Soviet. How should I say, the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic, what they called it back in those days. After the fall of the Soviet Union, he came to the West. He came to Ireland. This was a doctor from Ukraine, and he explained what communism did, and he said, and it's exactly the phrase that you hear from Al Capone. Al Capone said, "Why am I so popular?" He says, "I give the people what they want." What is it that the communists gave the people that they wanted so much? Well, they could complain about their neighbors. They could complain about anyone, and that would be used as an excuse to get those people arrested. So it was the total breakdown of the rule of law. This was the lawlessness of communism that they could arrest anyone they want. They could throw anyone they want into the gulag. And this is what we see happening in the United States now.
Yeah.
It used to be constitutional rule, the rule of law that was founded on the Constitution. Constitutional law is the very basis of the rule of law in the USA. And that is all gone now, because once the rule of law becomes a privilege that is granted by the generosity of the government, then the rule of law already has been abolished. And that's what we see happening now. That had happened now, because now selectively the government can deny the right to due process to anyone that they want to take it away from. And it's happening.
Our due process is so disconnected from being equally applicable to most human beings here now. It's not funny. It's very sad.
And the whole idea of equal protection under the law, that's the 14th Amendment.
No.
You get rid of the equal protection of the law, that everyone equally has the right to due process. That means not only U.S. citizens, but even anybody who is legally resident has the right to due process of law. And when it comes to criminal prosecution, even illegal aliens have the right to due process of law when it comes to criminal prosecution. They have the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty, whether it's robbery or burglary or anything like that. That right is not that they don't have the right to the presumption of innocence because they're illegal immigrants. The rights that they don't have are the rights of citizenship. The illegal immigrants don't have the right of residence.
Uh-huh. Got it. I got it.
But the basic due process of law, which is that you are presumed innocent of a crime until proven guilty, that is across the board for everyone. That's the rule of law in a civilized society.
In a civilized society, and that's the question now. Just how civilized is this society right now, anymore, any longer? I don't have the answer.
What we see now is something I never dreamt I would see this happen in the United States with my own eyes. But I see the videos, I see the reports, and it's rampant now. As much as people who tried to defend the indefensible and defend the government, and they'll say, well, the government is up against so many millions of illegal immigrants that they have to they cannot use the ordinary rules. The ordinary rules can't apply. Oh, you're saying that they're saying that the rule of law has to be suspended. Now, when the rule of law is suspended, we have a dictatorship. Now, there's a $50 million lawsuit now against ICE because...
$50 million, yeah.
Yeah, this is a recent case. There was a man, I forgot his first name, his surname is Shuhad, Mr. Shuhad. He's the owner of a car wash. Mm-hmm. And the ICE, without any warrant, without any exigent circumstances, without any probable cause, they came in to arrest people who worked in the car wash. Now, this man, the owner, 79 years old, he ran into the building to get the documents because he had the documents to prove that all of his employees were legally resident in the United States, legally employed. And the ICE chased him in and very violently, forcibly knocked him down to the ground. Then they went out and were arresting a man who was legally working, legally residing, and legally working in the United States. And Shuhad came out to protest what they were doing, and they very violently knocked him down to the ground, and they were beating on him. And they arrested him and took him into federal detention. Mm-hmm. And he was 11 hours. He was severely injured. They did not give him any medical treatment.
No, I beat the hell out of him.
This is a U.S. citizen. They did this to. They had no probable cause. In fact, they had no case against anyone there.
Right.
They're just acting out of hunger. There are foreign people who speak with foreign accents, people who appear to be people born abroad. That was all they needed. That, in their own mind, that's all they needed was to barge in and start arresting people. Because this is so rampant now, it is very clear this is their modus operandi. This is the protocol they follow, that you barge in, arrest people first, even without any probable cause. You arrest them first and sort it out later.
Well, that goes back to the thing that we often say on this program. It's no longer a system of justice, it's just us, as in them. So it's them, just us. That's the justice we have. And it's sad to say, but I see evidence of this all the time in the headlines, practically every day.
Another case that just happened a few days ago, ICE in their unmarked cars, no sirens or anything, they're following somebody. They want to make a stop and arrest someone, but there's a woman driving a car who's in their way. Now she is an American-born U.S. citizen, but she's in their way. So what do? They ram her car. They forcibly removed her from her car, and this woman is pregnant. They threw her to the ground, and then one of the burly ICE officers, with all the force of his weight, with his knees, came down and pounded his knees down on her stomach.
Well, these are inhuman actions. These are not human people. No, this is evil, pure evil. And I just don't know how we're going to confront these kinds of people who do this to other people. How do you even begin to... You shouldn't even have to begin to talk to them about how inappropriate, to be polite, their behaviors are. They don't want to hear it. We've got real problems here now. Huge problems.
And what's worse is it all seems to be... They're deliberately provoking an uprising, a popular uprising,
so they can declare
martial law. And when they declare martial law, then all due process of law is gone.
Correct. You're very, very wise in how you see everything. And I just wish that there were more people in the church who got it like you do. I don't know.
And it used to be, for centuries, when you had tyrants, the bishops and the popes, and especially the popes, spoke out against the tyranny and sometimes even inflicted ecclesiastical penalties on the tyrants. But now the tyrants are comrades in arms for the New World Order.
Yes.
The prelates and the politicians are working together to abolish the rule of law, to abolish all civil rights, and to reduce the status of the great mass of humanity to slavery.
This is rapidly headed toward third world status, but actually worse than that. I don't know how much lower it can go. I don't think we've seen much of anything yet. I think it's going to get to the point of degeneracy that few people will be able to understand. I don't like saying that. We're in real trouble here. It's not a joke. Big trouble.
What is especially
third world, fourth world? Where do we go? You got black people, a black woman the other day screaming about getting whites and barbecuing them and urging all liberals to steal and steal some more. You know the game, and many of you out there have seen the stories. It's just unbelievable. Urging another black woman who said, steal, steal, steal. Just constant steal, theft, total breakdown of any structure in our culture. It's just not there. Go ahead.
Well, the ones, you know, the at the commanding heights, they want that because they want the excuse to
come
institute
down
the martial law.
That's
so
right.
you've got to have these people who are based in practical terms, they are anarchists. And you've got to have these anarchists in order to create all the disorder so that in the name of order they can abolish all civil rights and all due process of law.
Right.
And this is going according to plan. This what is very chilling is when you see that this is premeditated. It's been going on for a long time. Donald Trump didn't invent this dialectic for creating the problems so they can impose a solution. This goes back a long time. Trump is just a hired manager who's playing his role.
He's a very distasteful hired manager, too. Disgusting. We're in trouble here, Father Kramer. I don't see it rectifying itself or somehow remedying itself. I don't see it. I just wish I could say something positive. I don't see the people rising up and insisting upon morality, kindness, courtesy, accountability. No one's at blame anymore. It's not my fault. No.
Or what the present regime is offering is a solution of brute force.
Brutality all the way. Correct. That's
Stalin.
It.
Stalin. That's what we're getting. We're getting Stalin in a business suit.
Trump said yesterday he really doesn't see how he could run for a third term. I don't pay any attention to that at all. I think anything's possible. His ego is so big. Go ahead.
He doesn't need to run for a third term according to his plan. Do you remember in the campaign when he was talking, he was addressing the Christians, mm-hmm. and he says, "This is the last time you'll ever have to vote."
I remember that very clearly.
Yeah. What does that mean?
He wasn't joking. No joke.
What does it mean? This is the last time you'll ever have to vote? It means mm-hmm. this is the last time you'll ever have elections.
That's what it means. You're precisely on the money. Yeah. We're in real trouble here. And no good people, Father Kramer, over here really want to run. I should qualify that. Very few people who are good, who are visionaries, who are kindly, want to run for public office. They just don't. They don't need the trouble. They don't need the grief. And those who are after the money, they'll run because they know once they get near that money stream, that money river, once they start to hang around it, that they have unlimited finance. They'll get all kinds of money. They know that. What greed, what unadulterated greed politics has turned into. It's really just deplorable.
The Trump-tards, the Trumpomaniacs,
yeah,
the MAGA-tards, they seem to not understand that their so-called president is not the president according to the description of the Constitution, according to the law of the land.
No,
a man who is going to promise you there will be no more elections. This is a man who doesn't need to run for a third term because he's going to declare martial law, and then what we're going to have is a white version of Idi Amin. Remember, Idi Amin was declared himself president for life.
Oh, I certainly do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
President for life. President for life, Idi Amin. President mm-hmm. for life, Donald Trump. That's what we're going to get.
I wonder how many people ultimately it was that Idi Amin slaughtered. There was cannibalism involved. There was all kinds of stuff. It's bad. So does that mean give up? Don't press the advantage if you can see an advantage? No, you've got to keep trying. If you give up, what is there? Really, what is there? There's nothing left? I don't know.
What made the United States work for so long? It was the French writer Alex de Tocqueville who said, America is great because America is good. But when America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great.
That's correct. Now, he's totally right. Yeah.
And the American people were Christians. Whether they were Catholic, whether they were Protestant, their whole education and upbringing was founded on this idea of the golden rule of the Ten Commandments. They had a practical belief, not just a profession of belief, but a practical belief that translated into the morality, the public morality of the people,
right.
The common morality of the people, based on Christian values, and that's what made America work. And unless we return to the Christian values, the Christian moral values. The Christian moral values, the country is going to fail as it's failing now. And Trump is not offering any solution in that regard, because I remember, again, another time during the campaign when Trump was addressing the Christians. And he says, you Christians, and then as an aside, he adds in, I'm not Christian. Do you remember that?
I certainly do. The guy has said outrageous, absolutely outrageous things, and it just seems to have skated on by most people's consciousness. He's not a good man. Sorry. You judge people by their actions and their statements. And he has a lot of terrible things out there that he said and pronounced. Yeah, you're right. America used to be the light to the world. It's not anymore. And I don't see how it's going to recover. I don't see it.
Trump is turning the United States into a banana republic because the rule of law is being completely destroyed. The Constitution is being gutted. Now, the United States was a light to the world because it was founded on the rule of law. It was founded on the legality of the civil rights that are recognized in the Constitution and as ultimately in the Declaration of Independence as God-given rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the USA became the beacon to the whole world. But once that rule of law is destroyed and the United States is reduced to being a banana republic, a dictatorship, a strongman dictatorship, that beacon is gone. That light is gone. And there's nothing to fill the void. There's nothing out there to fill the void at the present time. Nothing to fill the void. So under Trump, I think it's, unfortunately, the American flag is now obsolete because those 50 stars which represent the states where you have state governments, state rights under the federal government. Now, states' rights are being completely abolished, being death by a thousand cuts, but death is death after all. And the federal government is taking over the powers of the states and doing it in such a way that all of the rule of law under federal law and under state law is all being taken away. Under Trump, they might as well just take the 50 stars take the 50 stars off of the flag and just put one big yellow banana in its place.
Yeah, or a hammer and sickle. It's pretty unsettling to have to see things as they really are, and that's part of the advantage that the controllers have. They do have the ability to con people, and they've got the whole media on their side, and they use that all the time. I don't know. I think in 6 months, this country is going to be very much unrecognizable in terms of what it will be in 6 months. I think that's coming. I won't get into specifics because I don't know the specifics, but it's not good. And I don't know what's going on in Ireland either. But it's not good there either.
No.
We're in trouble. It's awful. Just absolutely awful.
And the monetary system is being reformed in a very tyrannical way. It's happening everywhere. Most people don't know that their bank account, their bank balance, that's not their money.
No.
That your bank balance gives you some a limited claim on access to some funds, but
ready funds. That's about it.
Legally, it's not your money anymore.
No. It's really amazing to hear us talking like this about what we're facing, but it's the darn truth. You can't hide from it. You can't play games. Oh, it doesn't really exist. It does exist, and it is extant, and it is what the plan is. So we're really not doing well. I don't know.
Well, houses, for example, are being bought up by these private equity firms. And
BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, huge acquisitions of housing. Correct.
And the property values are being inflated so that the property taxes can be inflated and people cannot pay the property taxes. So everyone's going to be, people are going to be forced out of their houses and they become homeless. And we know what the Trump regime thinks about homeless people, that they're going to be rounded up and put into camps.
That's a very correct. It's a very correct and very moral statement you just made. You're 100% on the money. Speaking of money, it's all about money, and that's precisely what our immediate destiny is about. You've got it. If you were to talk to the average American on the street, I'm not putting anybody down, but they just don't have a chance to really understand what's going on. They don't. And I wish it were otherwise. We've lost our character as a culture.
Yes. So many working people can't pay their mortgage and they're driven out of their homes. They become homeless. You have, in the United States, you have the employed homeless now. It's incredible, but that's what we have now.
That's an interesting statement, the employed homeless. That's just about it. When people in 6 to 12 months begin to see the level and the sweeping destruction of property, the concept of property ownership and all of that, they're not going to know what to do. They will not know what to do.
Well, home ownership here in Ireland is just beyond the reach of most everyone now. But to buy a house is so, it costs so much. I had a friend who moved out of one house and bought another. And to buy her new house, the price tag on that house was more than $1 million. More than €1 million. The euro is worth more than a dollar. And yeah, it was more than €1 million, her new house.
Gotcha.
Who can buy a house for €1 million or $1 million?
Not even four or five people can get together and buy a house like that in most cases. They just don't have that kind of liquid asset capital. They can't direct forth and strength through the capital markets. They just don't have it. So I don't know. I don't know. This is going to be a very difficult Christmas season for a lot of Americans and the Irish and many others in the Western world. Not going to be good.
And and you look in the UK now. Anybody who criticizes the government is being prosecuted. It's like the Soviet Union. You criticize the government in the United Kingdom now. It's like in the Soviet Union, where you get charged with anti-Soviet agitation for criticizing the Soviet government. That's what England has become.
England is over. It's done. It's unrecognizable now. And I don't know. If we could sit back, Father Kramer, and look at this and come up with a way or two that we could see an out. We could see some way, some method, some mechanism of getting out of this nightmare. Yeah, that would be a little bit of positive news, but I don't see that even happening. I'm not.
Well, one has to ask, where is the moral outrage from the church?
There isn't any. There isn't any.
There isn't any because because in the church hierarchy, they are accomplices to all of these thugs in power in the governments of the world now.
Correct.
Of the so-called civilized world.
That's totally correct. Yeah. Yep. Oh, my. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And you better think about how to try to protect yourselves and your families from this grim reality that has been somehow created and thrust upon so many people. Yeah. Not easy. I wish I could point to a way out. I wish I could point to a methodology by way the average person could somehow come up with a plan. Can't do it. I don't see it. And now with the church doing all of this crap that it's doing, no. You got to remember the Catholic Church, 1.2 billion people.
Well,
people don't understand that. That's a lot of clout.
The church will first have to undergo its own. It's going to undergo a purge, and
it has to. Yes.
In the crucible of persecution, the persecution of the church is going to bring up. By the grace of God, the church will be revitalized, and it was a young Father Joseph Ratzinger, 1969. Who foretold how this would take place. He said the church will be very reduced, become small, mm-hmm. but the church will be purified. Those are the prophetic words of Pope Benedict XVI when he was still a simple priest back in 1969.
Yeah. So as we approach this holy holiday season, What words would you have for people? What would you suggest they do? How do we get our minds up out of the darkness, the dank darkness, and place it upon something that is reasonably pure, reasonably positive? I just don't have an answer for that either.
Well,
it's somehow, you see, we don't have access to the majority of people. We don't. We're completely locked out of that. We don't have it. So, I don't know. You don't go to the ballot box to change all this. That's a joke. Think about it. Think you can vote your way out of this?
The thing about Christmas is that it commemorates the entry into this world of the incarnate Son of God, the incarnate God himself, Jesus Christ the Lord, who came into this world, he demonstrated with the divine testimony who he was and his authority, his divine authority, and he assured everyone, his disciples, but his words are enshrined in the gospel scripture, "Fear not, I have conquered the world." And he is the one who will rule, he will prevail. He is only allowing the world to go to ruin, not because he wants to destroy the world, but he doesn't want to just save the world. He lets the world go to ruin to show that he is the only savior. He is going to resurrect the world when it appears to be absolutely lost.
Got it. Well, what more dynamic lesson could there be than that? I don't know what to suggest for people in America are worried about Christmas, so we don't have any money for Christmas. You're going to have to withdraw, many of you, back into a cashless Christmas. You're going to have to lean on kindness. And those methods of reaching out to other people will come to take on a great significance if they're allowed to. But people can't lose sight of where this was really all about in the beginning. And then it was taken over by the international Zionists, where it was money, and if you bought enough presents, you're an okay person at celebrating Christmas, etc. We know the game. Anyhow. We're going to have to get back to for the old-fashioned ways.
That's right. so many people the hard way have learned that they are living for them. They are already living in a cashless society because they don't have any money.
It's tragically true. It's 100% correct. So remember, it's the little things that really make a difference in life. And if you just, it doesn't matter about the size of the present, the cost of the present. Come on, that's silly. You want to give somebody a gift, make it one small gift. And let them know that you care about them. And that's where this is coming from. Care, kindness, those things are invaluable. But they tend to be lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and a Christmas dinner. What that means to people. So I'll give you an example. One time, I was living in the Philippines in Manila, and I was late. There was going to be a Christmas party at someone's house, and I was late returning to the house where I was staying. Because I had to hear confessions in the parish church, and there were so many people coming. So by the time I got to the house, everybody was gone, and there was no food in the house. So I wanted to go out to a restaurant. All the restaurants were closed, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's Christmas Eve, and I'm going to starve. So, I prayed for help at that moment because I'm going to go hungry that Christmas Eve. Everybody's celebrating Christmas, and I'm going to go hungry. I had money, but I had no place to buy food. And then there was a knock at the door, and somebody from across on the other side of the city, a long distance, came in, and it's a restaurant owner who came in, and he had two platters of noodles. With meat and seafoods and everything, and he said I brought this here for you. So he was thinking of bringing that for me.
Very special.
And that was a wonderful Christmas gift I got.
You betcha, yeah. Somehow we've got to get back. People tend to look at things in the past as being corny, old-fashioned, waste of time. No, because we were wrapped and enveloped in good values then. Back then, we had them, and we've got to get back to that somehow. And I don't know what role the church is going to play in any potential to achieve that. Don't know. We'll find out. That's a nice story. Thanks for sharing that. It doesn't take much to bring the joy of the season to others. It doesn't. Just think. What can I do that's nice for somebody? What can I do that's nice for Father Kramer? Whatever. What can I do? Little thing. It doesn't have to be big things. We got to remember that. Of course, trying to remind people of that through the media, the Zionist media, is not going to happen. Have you seen those graphics of American mass media? Who owns American grass? All the major media. Have you seen any of those? It's invariably all Zionist. The media, and that's what it is.
The media, all right. The bank, the corporate world, they're in charge of everything now. And that is the third secret of Fatima.
We should talk more about that next time. Let's do that. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Father Kramer, very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Bye now.
Okay, good night. Father Paul Kramer, and thanks to all of you for being here. Tomorrow? Wow. I can't believe it. Just seems like it was Halloween a few months ago. Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Have a good day tomorrow. Take care. Try to think about preparing a little bit. You got a family especially. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for being here.